Alrighty, another day in pandemic paradise. Welcome to John DiBella Show Daily Podcast. It is here. It's Tuesday's show all over again for you. April 21st. How are you? It's Dave. It's the Clips. It's John's new favorite golfer starting things off here today. Oil is basically free nowadays. There's been a rash of laziness here at the office, and we all have our persons of interest. Joe Buck is back in the news now with $1 million porn offer. A-Rod and J-Lo, you won't believe what they're bidding on. We saluted some local workers from Brascom, America. Steely Dan did it again in Song Stories. A cow fell into a pool in Alabama and got rescued by cowboys who lassoed it, of course. How else would you expect a rescue to go down in Alabama? We kicked off our Project Face Mask today. Find out about that in here. And Paul Reese joined us, an author who just did a book called The Ox, detailing everything there is to know about the infamous Who bassist, John Entwistle, of course. And speaking of John Entwistle, John dug up a tape from way back in the day when he had the chance to interview him from London. Have a listen. It's all in here for you. It is the Daily Podcast.
I know how much you two are aching for golf.
For any sort of sporting event.
Yesterday I was driving off my deck with my 3-year-old.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I recently asked you about this woman, Paige Sparanak. Is that you?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Right. She has her own podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Right. Called Playing Around.
Okay.
All right. And
like the play around.
Yeah. Is it a cam podcast?
That's the whole thing. I mean, it's like play around. Yeah. I'd love to play around.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen this one. If you have the opportunity, if you don't know who Paige Sparanak is, look her up on Google.
Yeah.
Believe me, you'll find out that her greatest attribute probably isn't golf. And I don't even understand how she swings a club with those things. Anyway, she suggests. And she says that she says in her podcast that guys will typically ask her out on a date, right? And then, you know, and they suggest, well, let's have a golf date. And it all boils down to her giving them tips on right?
That's,
you know,
fools.
Yeah, wait a second. There are a couple of things going on here that I don't think she's realizing.
Okay.
Tips is a key word here.
Right? Oh, God.
And I'm sorry. You know, they're using golf as an excuse to date you, lady.
Yeah. All right. But does she creep up behind them and do the cheesy hug?
There's a reason to learn golf.
Yep.
John DiBella.
Here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
102.9 MGK.
You know, look, I've been through a lot more gas crises than the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, being around in the 70s when you can only get gas on certain days and being on these ridiculously long lines, right, you know, was hard to deal with. We've seen gas prices go, out of sight.
Sure.
Right?
Have we had anything in the last 30-some years?
What?
Like a gas crisis in the last 30 years?
Yeah.
I guess I wasn't driving then.
Yeah. Well, don't you remember when the gas prices were going, like, all of a sudden it was $2, all of a sudden it was $3.
It was about $4 in 2009,
I think.
2010.
Yeah. I mean, it got nuts. Now, did you hear what happened yesterday?
Yeah, they're basically giving away oil for free.
They have to pay us.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
-40 in the futures.
$37.63.
Wow.
-30. So if you want a barrel of oil, they'll give you $37.63 to take it.
I'm clearing room.
That's basically what it is right now.
Clear room in your parking lot at home.
Is that it?
Yep.
Right.
I got rid of a bunch of dirt. Bring in the oil.
Right. What do they call that? Tasty crude? What's the name for it?
Oh, crap.
It has some name.
I'm not T-Boone Pickens over here, John.
Right. Like I'm going to be sitting there spooning it into my mouth. I'm telling you, I cannot believe it. But, you know, I was in Jersey a couple of weeks ago, and I paid $1.99 for gas.
That's awesome.
I felt like I didn't go over a bridge. I went through a time warp.
And it's a marathon, go get it, marathon. Get to go with some standards and no go. Get regular, hot test. I'm better not take no knocks, all the same. Get that gasoline.
John DiBella DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's Classic Rock 102.9 MGK.
I got to tell you, Steve, I mean, I don't drink coffee. You know, right. I don't drink coffee in the morning. This is a natural high you hear me on, folks. All right. But I'm ticked. I'm ticked about what just happened to you. All right.
But in our first commercial break of the show, I went and made a pot of coffee, brand new.
Right.
What do we have? 3.5 minutes of spots there, and he came back, and the coffee was gone.
Right.
Completely gone.
No refill. And nobody remade it.
No, there was maybe like the bottom of had enough in it so that it didn't burn.
We work with some of the most lazy, inconsiderate bastards on the planet.
It's so easy to make a pot. It's easier than ever. We have a Dunkin' bar.
And we have a big printer outside of our office, right? And it is forever running out of paper.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, and because it has multiple trays,
right,
and people just switch to the next tray, you know, and then when they do go to put paper in it, it holds an entire ream of paper, right? And when they do, they'll put like 50 sheets, right? Like, take the whole damn pack, you lazy bastard.
That, we could do an investigation into that one because there's only us.
We have cameras.
There's us and like three other people that use that printer right now because nobody's here.
Yeah.
Who do you think it is? I think it's Weston.
You think it's Weston?
No doubt in my mind.
No, I've seen
it's the H-Man. I'm going to say H-Man.
No, because Tony and I are like, you know, monitors over the...
Who else is left?
We're constantly...
Who are the other suspects?
Oh, there are other suspects.
Jim Kinney?
Blame it all on Jim Kinney?
The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
There was a story about this a couple of weeks ago about Joe Buck, who has been doing, while he's in self-isolation, he has been doing play-by-play on everyday videos that people have posted all over the world, right? And people started sending him requests to do play-by-play on them having sex.
Right.
Right?
This show.
Now it has gone one step further. A porn company called imlive.com made $1 million offer to Joe Buck if he's willing to do commentary on some of their videos. All right, from what I understand, Buck turned it down. And how did he turn it down?
Yeah, so in response to this, he said, depending on the site, they could just be handing back some of my money to me.
Wow.
So I'll hold off for a better deal and try to hold on to my day job. But he's flattered.
Has Marv Albert volunteered instead?
I'm surprised he hasn't.
Hold on.
Yes. Yes. It's over. Yes. All right. Can you imagine Joe doing this?
And we return to the bedroom where Sarah has home bed advantage. And Greg is trying to break his 248-night losing streak. And he makes a move, and he's rejected. Wow, a devastating block. And he's going for it again. Rejected again. Wow, he's so persistent. He tries to make a pass, and wow, she is really playing great defense. And Greg has decided to go back to his home bed and play with himself instead. We'll have more lack of action coming up.
John DeBella Show, Philadelphia's Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK.
Is that true? The J-Lo A-Rod thing?
Yeah, I read that this morning. They're ponying up their funds to raise money to take over the Mets.
They're trying to see if they can get some extra cash added in because they're valued at $700 million.
J-Lo, a paltry A-Rod. $700
million. $700 million. Between the two of them?
Between the two of them. Okay. And the Mets are valued at $2.2
billion. Uh-huh.
So. Suckers.
Well, I got to tell you something. I like the idea of those two owning the team. All right.
Me too.
I mean, because they'll take some more responsibility than the doofus who has it now.
I actually don't. I like A-Rod in the booth.
You like? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Right.
But it's Sunday Night Baseball.
He could still be in the booth.
No, you can't.
Why not?
An owner of the team also broadcasting.
Conflict of interest.
What, are you crazy?
I'm fine.
That was a strike.
But he wouldn't be in the booth for Mets games.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
Why would you
I'm still fine with it. I am.
I'd love to hear Jeffrey Lurie commenting on ESPN Sunday night.
I would like to hear the last time you watched Sunday Night Baseball, John. You were still living in New York as a kid.
On the 5th. On the 5th.
Oh, on the 5th. Of what?
Of January? Never. Yeah. On the 5th of never. That's the last time I watched Sunday Night Baseball.
Jack Buck was still calling it.
Red Bob I was calling it.
Oh, my God. That name sounds black
man,
and white.
Man, that's a strike, see?
Red Barber was one of the best.
Is that right?
Red Barber, he was fantastic.
Anacon.
Did The guy from Scrubs, didn't he play him in the Jackie Robinson movie? Was that who he was acting?
Yes, that's
as?
Who was. Yeah, that's
he did
who
a
was,
really good job. Yeah, with
yeah,
that
yeah,
voice, yeah.
Trying to be Red Baba.
Yeah,
right. And what could be more hysterical than a guy with a Boston accent yeah. calling Yankees games?
John McGinty, I think, was the actor.
Cindy, what's happening yes. on the roadways?
Well, we've got construction still out there on the eastbound Schuylkill Expressway.
Dude is Red Barber.
I don't even know how to do that.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Listen, we're doing a radio thing here. Go with it.
102.9.
Screw you, DiBella!
MGK.
And your imaginary Corvette!
I have to apologize for not having anything better to do for these people than tell this story.
All right.
Because these folks really deserve to be saluted in some way, shape, or form. There's a company in Marcus Hook that is called Braskin America. And Braskin America makes the fibers that they use for the N95 masks, for the PPE clothing, all kinds of stuff like that. And without that fiber, you can't make any of the other stuff. So no matter how much they want to make it, if these guys aren't making the fiber, nobody's making squat.
Gotcha.
Right? Well, it seems that nearly a month after clocking in, these people are finally going home. More than 40 workers unanimously decided to leave their families, agreeing to eat, sleep, and live at the facility they work in order to make equipment for healthcare workers.
Wow, that's impressive.
I mean, they were doing 12-hour shifts.
Like firefighters.
Right? They worked 12-hour shifts. TV, occasional drive-by from family members outside was all the contact they had. Wow. They enjoyed the idea that they didn't have to do social distancing because they all had been in
sure.
there. They all had been cleared, mm-hmm. so everybody could be there. They said they were truly honored to be able to give back and support people who they never met in any way, shape, or form. I mean, these are, you know what, folks, I really wish, if you're an employee there, I wish I could do more. You really deserve an incredible salute. Baskin is rewarding these employees with an increase in wages.
Oh, that's good.
Right? But the idea that for 28 days they stayed there and worked basically 24 hours a day to help the rest of us. And later on this morning, we're going to tell you about Project Face Mask. And I'm telling you now, it is not what you think. But for the folks at Baskin America, home sweet home is the best I can do for you this morning. So this is for you, folks.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Sounds good.
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK. You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
Steely Dan's Do It Again is what everybody believes was Steely Dan's first single, but in reality it wasn't. It was a song called Dallas, which they put out as a 45, and it just sunk without a trace, right? And then Can't Buy a Thrill came out, and Do It Again was released off of that album as the first single from that album. And, well, that ended up going up to number 6 on the charts. And Donald Fagen talks about what it was like hearing that on the radio for the very first time.
We were making albums more quickly then, so it was about maybe 4 months after we had recorded it. We heard it on the radio in Los Angeles where we were living, driving down the freeway there, and it was definitely a mind-blower to hear something that you actually created playing on the radio.
The John DiBella Podcast.
You are crazy in the most wonderful way.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
This is the funnest night ever.
102.9 MGK.
I don't know who to compliment, the drummer or the engineer who mic'd those drums, but that snare sound.
Dave Abruzzese is the drummer, he was only in their earlier albums.
Yeah, yeah.
Dave, is it Krusen?
What's that?
Dave Krusen?
Dave Abruzzese.
Abruzzese.
Yeah.
Right.
From like 91 to 94.
It is, the drum sound is just incredible.
Dude, all those early
snare drum.
The early grunge productions, incredible.
Right.
I mean, all analog, all done by people who were relatively amateur
right.
at the time because it hadn't blown up yet, up in Seattle.
And massive albums came out of it.
Heck yeah.
48 degrees outside right now, mostly sunny with temperatures getting to 62 and all hell's breaking loose later on this afternoon. We're looking out to the west right now, and it's a lot grayer out in that area than it is in our area.
Spooky.
Scattered showers should start around 11 o'clock this morning. It's going to be windy. Thunderstorms are possible. Hail is possible. And wind gusts up to 45 miles an hour. It's going to be an ugly afternoon, but it's going to clear out after that, so we just got to get through there. 62, the expected high, 48 degrees outside right now. This happened in, what did we say, Alabama? This went down?
Yes.
This went down in Alabama. Yep. I don't know if you've seen the video yet, But a guy is looking out his window, and it seems a cow had escaped from wherever the cow was. And two dogs found the cow running around in this guy's backyard. And the cows start chasing the dogs start chasing the cow. And this guy picks up a phone and starts videoing it and doing play by play.
We got two dogs chasing a cow out in somebody's backyard. Oh, dog bites cow. Oh, cow is in the pool. Oh my goodness, dog is going in the pool after the cow. They are in the deep end. Oh, cow, dog is biting cow. Cow puts him under the water, dunks him. Dog swimming away. We got dog number two on the side of the pool. Dog number one is going after cow again. The cow's under the diving board. Oh, he's getting out the pool. He can't get out. He can't get out. They both stuck in the pool. Oh, my goodness. We got a cowboy coming in. Oh, he's got a lasso. Oh, two cowboys. Cow trying to get out. He's in the shallow end. Lasso. Oh, he's doing the lasso thing. Oh, my goodness. He got the cow with the lasso. Oh, my goodness. First shot.
Dude, that sounds like Ralphie May.
It does sound like Ralphie May.
From the grave.
Oh, wow. My God. It sounds so much like
Get
Ralphie May.
Get that man for Monday Night Football.
By the way, no worries. All animals were saved in this video.
The John DeBella Show.
Does this place have a pool?
Classic Rock 102.9 MGK.
I've been mentioning this all morning long, Project Face Masks, and I figured that when I said Project Face Masks, people were, you know, thinking that, oh, MGK is going to try to collect face masks and, you know, get them out, which is a really good thing to do, right? All right? But people have a hard enough time getting them. Trying to do a face mask collection might be just fruitless, right? So what I want to do is, now that we are all being asked to wear masks, right, and we're all supposed to be wearing masks, if you're around other people, you're supposed to be wearing a mask, especially like if you're going into stores and stuff like that. And when you do this, I had a stop at Acme yesterday. All right, and I'm walking around, and I saw numerous people with the mask covering their mouths. Their noses were not covered at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
You got two holes there, pal. Yeah,
right. You know, but and the mask is there. You wear the mask to protect me. I wear the mask to protect you.
Sure.
Right. But I would cover your nose as well with these things. You notice that the pro ones have your nose and your mouth covered. But I'm getting off topic. With all of us having to wear masks now,
all right?
I thought it would be a great idea, seeing that we're all having such a hard time finding them and so many people are making them, whether you're making it out of a bandana or someone's, in the case of like our boss, Joe Bell, right? His wife, Kat, cut up a royal crown, you know, that little blue velvet bottle, royal crown comes in.
Yep.
Cut that up and turned it into a mask.
Yeah.
Right? It says royal crown.
Pandemic
right
party. Or
crown royal.
Oh, crown royal. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Before somebody yells at you.
Right. You know, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Crown so he royal. Came in with, I have a black one.
Yeah.
Just plain black. So I can get a little crazy if I wanted to, right? With like a design.
Yeah. You could put a design on it. Right. Or maybe you're just using a bandana and it's a really cool bandana.
Sure.
Maybe you're somebody who's making up great ones, because a lot of people are making them. We're going to have this is like Project Runway.
Okay.
It's going to be Project Face Mask.
Nice.
All right. So we want to take all of these self-made face masks, or maybe you came up with one, maybe you purchased one that was really unique. We'll accept those as well. Right. We want to take a picture of yourself in your mask and go to WMGK.com, and there you'll be able to upload it. And we'll take everybody over the course of the next week and bring it down to three. Each one of us will pick someone who we think is the winner.
All right.
And then the listeners will be able to pick, you know, vote on what they believe of those three. Mm-hmm. And whoever the grand prize winner is, I'm working on a prize right now, but worst case scenario is it's going to be $100 in gift cards.
All right, cool.
All right. So all you got to do is take a picture of yourself in your mask. All right, you know, and this is in your self-made mask.
All right.
Or, like I said, something really unique that you found. Like, I saw some...
A plastic bag.
I saw some old lady, right, in a mask that had, like, big, you know, it's like a banana or something, but had, like, big, gnarly teeth.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You know, skull.
Whatever it might be, whoever you've worked out your mask to be, just send us a picture with you in your mask, and it'll ask you for some information about yourself as well. But if you go to WMGK.com, you could upload it right now. So please do that. This is our fashion statement for the day. I'm Tim Gunn. Right? No, actually, I don't want to be Tim Gunn. Right? But this is Project Face Mask. And as long as we have to do it, let's have some fun with it.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Bigger, better, and stronger than ever before.
Philadelphia's Classic Rock 102.9 MGK.
And we will make
the John DeBella Podcast
great again. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Classic Rock 102.9 MGK. Heartbreaker from Pat Benatar, The John DeBella Show. Temperatures today are getting up to 62 degrees, but there's some heavy-duty weather headed our way. We'll see some scattered showers later on today, and windy thunderstorms are possible, maybe even hail. Keyword this hour is yes, and you still got some time to get it into our mobile app, WMGK.com, or 45911 for another $500. Paul Reese is the author of a new book, The Ox, the authorized biography of The Who's John Entwistle, and he is on the line with us this morning. Hiya, Paul.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing well. Yourself, sir?
About as well as it can be expected at this time, yeah.
Okay. I've been friendly with the guys in The Who for a very long time, but I could never say I was friendly with John Entwistle, because other than, like, getting a nod from him, we never really had a conversation. He's kind of like the quiet Beatle. He's the quiet Who member. How tough was it doing a biography on him?
I think that's the thing. I think John is one of rock's great enigmas. Countless people, I spoke to Al Cooper, you know, who played keyboards with Dylan, and he played with The Who, and he did two records with The Who, and John never spoke to him once. And any number of people said John would never, you know, Glyn Johns, the producer, who produced numerous Who records, said John hardly spoke in the studio at all. He was about as complex and colourful a character as you could get. You know, the thing I didn't know was when I started out on the book, that him and Keith Moon were pretty much partners in crime all the way through Moon's tenure in the
really?
Band and Moon's life. A lot of the stuff that Moon got up to, Entwistle would instigate. They were like a double act. So Entwistle would hatch this plan. They would both do it, but then Entwistle was smart enough to be away from the scene whenever the trouble came down.
It's like Big Brother, Little Brother stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Exactly.
What kind of stuff would he entice Moon to do?
He convinced Moon that on one tour they should buy piranha fish and keep them, so they had a bath to fill with piranha, and they were quite disappointed because piranha were quite sedate, and so they bought a snake, and that escaped into the air ventilation system of a hotel in America. He was just this guy. He loved being a rock star, and you know, he was the original one who bought the rock star home. He filled it with collections of stuff that was essentially useless, but he spent money on. He had a collection of cars despite not being able to drive it. He was just much more of a flamboyant character than you would ever have expected. The hardest thing was what to leave out of his life rather than what to put in.
I remember from the earliest show that I ever saw, the whole band would, you know, there would be Roger, you know, and he had his fringes on in the early days, swinging the microphone up and down, Keith going mad on the drums, Pete jumping up and down with his guitar, and there would be John leaning against the proscenium arch, not doing much anything, just playing his bass.
Bill Kirby told me a brilliant story that when they did the Who by Numbers tour, John came up to him and was moaning and saying, look, why is it that everybody's always talking about the other ones and I sort of get lost on stage? And Kirby said to him, well, it might help if you didn't wear all black on stage every night. He turned up the opening night of the tour and he said John had bought a collection of white suits. When they started the tour, John was had put on a bit of weight because he liked his fried food. He said, so he got four white suits when he was in his bigger period, four white suits when he'd lost a bit of weight, and then four white suits when he got thinner. And he said he wore those for 3 months and then went back to black because he got bored being in white.
One time, I did a week of shows. I used to do a week of shows in London all the time. And on this one particular week, I had everybody from the band on except for John. So on the day that Roger was on, we convinced him to call John, and his mother answered the phone, and we were in complete shock. I was like, what is this grown man doing living with his mother? And Roger and his mom have this nice little conversation, and then she goes to get him, and she's gone for a while, and Roger looks at me and says, it's a really big house.
He famously just spent money like water. John had announced he wanted a country cottage, so they went off to the Cotswolds, you know, in the English countryside.
Uh-huh.
He came back with a 46-room hunting lodge.
Oh,
with about 40 acres of ground. And he formed a solo band, and one of the guys in the band, a guy called Andy Nye, who's a keyboard player, he took him for a walk around the grounds. And this is like mid-80s, so Entwistle's been living there for 10 years. And Nye spots the doorway in one of the walls and said, what's that? And Entwistle said, I've absolutely no idea, I've never seen it before. He was still finding rooms in the house 10 years later. He didn't know existed. There was one point when they had a blow-up doll in the car with them, and they were going up the motorway to Scotland with her legs out. I use the word her legs out the window. And they had a tannoy system and a PA fit in the car. So Moon was pretending to scream in like female, and they were bombing up with them. They ended up, the police turned up at their hotel, so they had reports that a woman had been abducted. green at the moment.
Well, the book is The Ox, the authorized biography of the Who's John Entwistle. It's available now. Paul Reese is the author, and you're the guy from Kerrang! Magazine, aren't you?
Yeah, I was on Kerrang! For 7 or 8 years, yeah.
I thought I recognized the name. Well, you take care. Thank you so much for spending the time.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure, John. Cheers for that.
The John DeBella Show.
This show is my life.
Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK.
Earlier this hour, we were talking to Paul Reese, who did the new autobiography on John Entwistle, The Ox. Sure. It's called The Ox, autobiography. And way back when, one time, this is back in the 80s, right, we used to go to England every year for a week and do a week of broadcasts. And we had everybody from The Who on the show. At that time, Kenny Jones was playing drums.
Okay.
So Pete was on, Kenny was on, Roger was on. The only person we were missing was John Entwistle. So the day that Roger was on, right, we decided to, ask him to help us and call The Ox. And this is where his mother actually ends up answering the phone.
And now we continue with Roger Daltrey here at 93.3.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I cleaned it up here.
You're here today. And the one person we unfortunately weren't able to get a hold of was The Ox. So we have his phone number here. So what we'd like to do is call him well, why don't you take over the conversation? All right, so we'll get Andy to get the phone number together there.
Will it sound like I'm on the phone?
It'll sound to John. It'll sound like he's on. It'll sound like you're on the phone to him. Right. So this should be more than interesting.
I hope you've got your bleepers handy.
Oh, it's okay. We'll just we'll just have the chief engineer will have a small heart attack back at the station. But that's what live radio is all about. You've got to take those risks, you know.
Hello.
Hello, is John there?
Who's speaking?
Oh, it's Roger Daltrey.
Hello, Roger.
Who's that?
Queenie.
Hello, Queenie. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
All right.
How's the family? All right?
Yeah, really good.
Jolly good.
Is he still in bed?
Well, I expect so, but he's awake, so he's got the phone right by.
All right, don't give him a nudge.
Okay.
That's John's mum.
This is like
Queenie. This is really good. Come on, John, get out of it.
It's like bloops, bleeps, and blunders here. I feel like Ed McMahon and Dick Clark, you know? We're calling John Entwistle.
Oh, he's probably asleep. I'm going to get killed now. You realize that.
Imagine if we did it alone.
Yes, but he doesn't know who to come for, does he?
This is where I
see. John lives in a very big house, as you've gathered. It takes to get to his bedroom. He's probably asleep. This is really riveting radio.
Roger Daltrey.
Hello?
Hello?
John.
Hi.
How are you?
All right, mate. How are you?
Good. You're on the radio, John.
I'm what?
You're going out live in Philadelphia.
Am I?
Yeah. Because as you wouldn't turn up here, they said, get me to phone you up. So I'm calling you up to ask you what you're doing, because they're all interested.
Oh, charming.
Oh, charming. So what are you up to?
What am I up to?
Yeah.
Well, I'm lying in bed recovering from last night, I don't know.
I know, but what were you up to last night, John?
Oh, nothing. We just recorded last night.
How's the band doing?
Really great, yeah. It's really good.
I've heard you got yourself a singer at last.
Yeah, we got a singist.
Is he good?
Yeah, terrific.
Great. Great. Anyway, come. It's John here and Mark. Say hello, John.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
They put me up to this. Nothing to do with me, John.
Say hello to Philadelphia.
Terrific. What are you doing there?
Well, I'm doing this interview on this zoo program. I don't know what it is. Something about a zoo. I thought I'd be coming here to make animal noises.
This was supposed to happen yesterday at 2 o'clock.
Was it? 2 o'clock yesterday? Well, yeah. Never mind. <You
know.
laughs> Oh, they have got all the noises here. Okay, John.
John, you have a nice morning and the best of luck to you with your new album.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Right. And say goodbye to Queenie for us, would you?
Queenie?
Yes.
Who's Queenie?
Queenie.
Oh, I call her mom.
Yes, the quality of fine cassette tape. That's what that was.
Yeah.
And that was cleaned up.
That was pretty cool to hear. The coolest part was the fact that you found a string long enough to get across the Atlantic with a tin can. God, I've heard better fidelity on the Star of the Playground you can talk into.
But that's all we had then.
Wow.
That's all we
had. It was cool to hear it, though.
Right. Yeah, I got to tell you, the funniest thing that came out of it, because we used to go to Capitol Records every year and do, you know, a week of broadcasts. Right? And
oh, it was there every year?
Yeah, every year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The week before Thanksgiving week was when we would go every year, which was a big week in London, because that's when they were setting up for all the Christmas shopping, right? And the store's going to be open late. Till 8 o'clock.
Whoa!
The city that never sleeps.
Well, at that time, back in the '80s, there were stores. They were closed on Saturdays.
Wow!
Right?
I mean, is that a European thing in general?
No. I think it was an English thing.
Okay.
I think it was an English thing. But we would go there, and we would go every year, and we do this week of shows, and it was like the third year we're coming back, and we would fly out on Friday night, and you know, have Saturday and Sunday to recuperate, get some things together, and then start doing the broadcast on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And this one year, we come back, and we come in Saturday morning, and we're listening to the radio in the cab, and this guy's listening to the London Morning Zoo. I'm going like, what? And I said to the guy, what is that? He goes, it's Capital Radio. They do this show every week. All right. So we get to the station, and I go to the program director, who I got to know over the years. I go, what's with the Morning Zoo? And I said, oh, we've been taping you guys for the past 2 years.
That's hysterical.
And the next year when we came back, it was on 5 days a week. Right? Yeah, or it was 6 days a week. It was on Monday through Saturday.
When did your lawsuit start?
It didn't. That's, it was like, you know. But then again, I stole an idea from them and used it as a promo for a TV show.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Thank you, John!
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.